Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Carmen, going back into the bullpen, just what was your immediate response when Don Kelly gave you the news?
Obviously just excited to have Jared back with us. Can honestly say I'm just still communicating with the organization and the people in my corner, whether that's my family and my agency, about what's next, and I really don't have any comments after that.
Yeah, I don't think the Pirates wanted to hear that. I think in a perfect world they want to hear, hey,
kumbaya, I'm happy to be here. I'm one of
13 pitchers. I'll do whatever they want me to do. I'll put my hand in the pile.
There's a very clear part of that that matters, and it's my agency. His agency controls his contract negotiations. Pony, would you like to tell the people which position makes more money, starter or reliever? I mean, I think that's what it
I want to know what the heck he meant by what's next. I would have liked some clarification on that.
I noticed that too. I assume it's just like, referring to, yeah, they're sending me to the bullpen. That's what's next.
But as I kind of took that as if I have any recourse.
Well, no, dude, it's a baseball decision. No matter how much people think it sucks, are you going to just not play?
No, but you could ask for a trade. Burt Blylevin did that. That's going back a very long time, and he's a Hall of Fame pitcher, but it happens.
I do. I'm sympathetic to him. I mean, his whip, like, some of his numbers are not awesome overall for the year, but, like, some of them are actually pretty damn good, and I would say he's been trending in the right direction lately.
But what if that attitude spills over to his first couple appearances in the bullpen and he's not good? Do you give him a free pass then?
I don't give anybody a free pass for attitude stuff, because part of being a pro athlete, like the flip side of the coin of you're going to make a lot of money by like normal person standards, is you've got to eat crap sometimes in these situations.
Even if it's unfair.
Well, isn't that kind of the whole point of saying you got to eat crap? Like, inherently, that's unfair. You're better than Bubba Chandler if you're this guy right now. But I put that aside and say, you've got to perform.
Let's get Matt Clement, our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, a chance to react to this. Former big league pitcher, Cubbies, Red Sox, pitched in a lot of high-pressure situations, dealt with success and failure in the major leagues. So he's a great guy to talk to about this. Brought to you by Smale Chevy, Latrobe, now part of the Smale Auto Group family. Matt, what's your reaction to what you just heard there from Majinski?
Well, you know, one of my first takes back in spring training, I thought he was going to be in the rotation. He's kind of my guy, so I've felt the pressure every start with him. So I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of proud of the reaction. I really am. I felt like he was going to wear it. I felt like he was going to wear it, say the right things, which he didn't say anything wrong. But he's frustrated, and
he's being his own best advocate. He's sticking up for himself is what he's doing there.
Yeah, and sometimes frustration boils times. And I think I talked to Malzi last week about this exact situation, said this is probably what's going to happen, because it just kind of made, you know, you could, when you talk to people, you could just feel this is what was going to happen. And, you know, I related to, like, one time when I was with the Red Sox, and it was my, and now I was also a 6 or 7 or 8 year veteran at this point, but they skipped me in the rotation the year after I was an all-star. They like bumped me back 3 days when we were playing in Yankee Stadium for the late, great Tim Wakefield to pitch against the Yankees, who was really good against the Yankees. So I'm kind of relating myself to the one situation, and I didn't handle it well. I don't know what I said to the media, but I kind of stormed into Tito's office, when Tito told me, I didn't storm in, but when Tito told me, I kind of snapped back something that was not professional, and it made me feel better for a minute. But when I tell a story now, I think, what the heck was I doing?
Yeah.
At the time, but that's kind of how I relate to it.
That's Tim Wakefield. I mean, Tim Wakefield is a very underrated pitcher all time. This is a guy losing out on potentially a lot of money for Bubba Chandler, who is second in the league
Jones.
In losses. Right.
And Jared Jones, who also acted just as bad, if not worse, when he was asked about what is your role going to be. And he's pitched for exactly 1 year in the majors.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I feel like, you know, this decision was coming. The Pirates kind of threw it out there almost like an audition in my eyes. That's kind of how it was, by not announcing what was going on. I there's not a doubt in my mind that the only option that could happen was Chandler go down. Chandler wasn't going to the pen. There wasn't ever an option. I've been speaking to you guys about this for weeks. Jones was not going to the bullpen immediately. He was not. It's just not what's right for his recovery and the value and the asset that he is. It was.
Why is that not right for his recovery? Tell people why you don't think that was the best move for him to pitch in a relief role. For his arm
it's
recovery.
It's not what I think. It's not what I think. It's what I know.
Yeah.
You have an asset, right? So you have this asset and you rank your assets. If I'm going to be quick with this, I've done this a couple times. You have Skeens, you have Griffin, and you have Hernandez right now. And then you have this next tier. You know, Jared Jones is in this next tier with probably Cruz, maybe Chandler, and some other guys along the way. But that's kind of like how you look at it. Think about this. When you're coming back from a surgery like this, every time you throw, especially when you start throwing bullpens, I come in, I stretch, I'm with the trainer, I go throw my plyo balls against the wall, I long toss, I jog a little bit, I go throw my bullpen, and then maybe as it progresses, I throw to live to hitters, and I go into games. You aren't going to throw somebody that's an asset like this. Maybe a non-asset, but somebody that's an asset and part of your future you think can help you. You win a playoff or a series or get in the playoffs, you aren't going to throw him directly in the pen where you can't manage his recovery. It's about his recovery is the key to this whole thing that I've been preaching for a long time right now. He has to be able to recover. Now, if it doesn't go well and he gets a little bit further out from this surgery, now he's 12 months, 14 months, playoff situation, maybe you use him that way because he's got a little bit more to it, but you don't want to do that. Secondly, you have a bullpen that you would agree with me, both of you, that it's the thing that's killing us right now.
Yeah.
Is the bullpen. So you put him in a bullpen in a situation where you have to watch his recovery. Well, I was talking to one of my friends that's a pitching coach, not about this situation, just in general pitching the other day. Well, we can use him once every 5 days. Well, if he's one of the guys down there, we can only use him once every 5 days. Then what are we going to run into? Well, now we've got to use Montgomery 3 days in a row. Now we've got to use somebody else 3 days. Maybe we have to put somebody like who's struggling right now. We're trying to rehabilitate his confidence. We have to throw him in a role. We don't want to throw him in a tie ball game right now that might just completely obliterate his confidence. So that's why Jones is going in this rotation, at least to start this thing, because, I mean, that there's a lot of easy reasons in my mind with that.
Matt, is it also true in your opinion? Because this, to me, I've heard brought up. Well, because Chandler is not good at something, which is
controlling his pitches,
command. He's not adept to going into a relief role, but Majinski has shown he can do it before, so it's an easier fit for him to go with the bullpen. It's like Majinski gets penalized or punished for being able to do something that Chandler can't, and he gets demoted because he profiles better as a relief pitcher than a starting pitcher. Do you agree with that?
Don't get me wrong. This isn't cool for Majinski. Like, he didn't deserve this. Like, this is a rare situation. That's why this is happening. It really is. And that's why I've said the whole time also, like, it's either Chandler's going down or Majinski. He's going to the bullpen. Those were the options that were going to come out. They weren't going to do a six-man rotation. That was never an option in their minds.
Yep.
Majinski, because he's good at something else, and this, you're right, this comes down to money, man. This comes down to dollars for Majinski. And it's hard for him.
He's a victim of his own versatility.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Yes. Yes, he's got this opportunity.
That's why I would be so pissed if I was him, and I would not feel bad at all about saying what I said, because it's like you're punishing me and probably, potentially, costing me money because I'm good at something that the other guy isn't, and we don't even know if he's good at the thing that we hope he's good at. It would be very tough for me to stomach that if I were in his shoes.
Agree, and he's very frustrated, and I thought the interview was fine. Mm-hmm. He showed some frustration. He didn't throw somebody under the bus. He didn't like he indirectly said what he wanted to say without crossing the line completely and blowing somebody up or going off or making it viral. I thought he handled the interview for somebody that was disappointed, bummed, affecting his like immediate life, could handle that spot. I think if you want to dig deeper in this from the Pirates perspective, like I think we all agree, Majinski's getting the raw end here.
Yep.
I think a bad lights out bullpen right now, this might be Chandler. But you can't afford to send a guy that's walking so many people into a bullpen right now that's really scuffling and costing some games. I think that's another Majinski's a victim of that also in this whole situation too.
Matt, you laid out where you think Jared Jones is on the organizational totem pole. Why do you think he is so highly thought of by them? Because one of the things that's come up here over the last few days is we're talking about a guy that had an ERA over 4 his last year as a starting pitcher. Yeah, he had big moments. Yeah, he flashed. Yeah, he can blow pitches by people. Yeah, he's super confident and cocky and all those things. But at the end of the day, the numbers were not reflective of someone that is necessarily going to be a top-end starting pitcher. So why do you think the Pirates do view him as one of the most important people in their organization moving forward?
Well, he showed in a time probably more so than like Chandler has at this point in his career. As a young pitcher, he could be dominant over a period of time every fifth day.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, you know, they got to think some of the time where that ERA started to balloon a little bit and it went from elite. He had elite numbers at the beginning of this. And the end of it, you know, could that have been because he was injured? Could that have been the start of the injury? So I think they've seen this ceiling on him that could be here. Now, you want to talk about how I thought Majinski, you know, I got to give it to him. And that's not, you know, I'm pretty conservative in the most part and for the players and everything. I thought Majinski's interview really good. Jones, even though he said he wasn't talking about that, handled that interview bad. And that makes all of us and everybody else be like, wait a second, we're giving this guy the reward.
Yep.
When he flat out said, I'm not going to the bullpen, I'm just starting, which he might have known that already when he said that, and instead of just saying the right thing. And I just feel like he has this elite upside to be right in that rotation at the top of it. I think we talked early season and we were throwing all those predictions around and you said, who's starting your third game of a playoff series? And
yeah.
I said Jones. And it's because he has the ability to wipe you out. That's that confidence he has. Do I expect this to be perfect? Do I expect him to come out and go crazy here? I don't necessarily.
Well, what is he limited to, Matt? What would you guess tonight, like his first start? Is he on a 60-pitch count? Is it 75 because he pitched so much in the minor leagues for a month building up to it? Is it normal, like 85, 90 pitches? What do you think?
Somewhere between, I would guess, if you want to be conservative, 4 to 5 innings. And if things go brilliantly well, he could maybe see the sixth inning. Like ridiculous, stupid pitch count where he's, you know, he finishes the fifth with like 55
pitches. He's Maddoxing them.
Yes, which he's unlikely to do because he's a swing and miss guy. And swing and miss guys, you know, their pitch count gets deeper. And that's the kind of guy he is. And it's a, you know, Chandler's probably right there with him in that totem pole in their mind right now also. So it's a, you know, that's Matt's totem pole. It might be completely wrong, but that's kind of how I view how this whole thing's going down right now. And it's a good problem for the Pirates to have. Honestly, it's a great problem. And I really see, I think the Pirates have this vision of Majinski, not just, okay, be the bulk guy. Okay, I don't see him being like the piggyback guy. I think
I don't want him to be.
Stroke,
I want him to be in super high leverage spots, getting big outs. That's what I want.
I see 3-inning Kent Tekulve type saves possibly if this works out the right way. I see like this is going to be my guy. If we're not going Soto late, we bring him in the seventh because let's think his stuff is pretty elite too. He's throwing it. He's throwing right around what all these guys are throwing with 4 pitch. He could, you know, when he goes in the bullpen setting,
I see him
that
as
stuff
20
might tick up.
Matt, I see him as 2016 Andrew Miller coming to Cleveland and being used as a weapon everywhere they needed him in the bullpen. That's what I hope.
I hope you're right about that, Mulls.
And I actually think that there's people in the Pirates organization that see that as an avenue at how this thing plays out. I really do. And he's the one guy that you could have done that with. And again, It's unfair to him. He's earned it. And I think it took so long to announce this because they just didn't know how this was going to play out. And he kind of trumped them by how he pitched. He really did. He trumped them and forced their hands and forced them in that is awkward. I heard you guys talking before I came on. The interesting thing will be, are you going to give him a, like you ask Malzahn, are you going to give him a pass if he doesn't do well? And not a pass, but you know, it could, here's the take. I'll swerve another direction with you. What if he doesn't do well and this decision caused him to go into a funk? And then you took one of your pitchers that's so hot right now. That's where this could get a little bit awkward.
Bubba Chandler also has to pitch really well because they have made their very clear decision that they have prioritized Bubba and his ceiling. I think the pressure turns up on him considerably.
And, Matt, he made it sound after his start against the Cubs like he's safe. He said afterwards, I got 20 more of these things. I wouldn't be so sure about that. He made it sound like he's got this long runway where he's going to get starts the whole rest of the year. I wouldn't be so, unless he's been told that, and he made it sound nonchalant cavalier, like he's got the entire season in the rotation.
I'm guessing he assumes that, and I'm guessing the Pirates don't act like he doesn't have that. I don't know if he's been told that, though, right? Because, you know, for the Pirates to say, hey, we're turning up the pressure on you, you better figure it out, or Majinski's coming back in rotation, that's stupid because you're putting undue pressure on
Correct.
The kid. But I agree with you. I don't think his runway is forever here. But I do. I since doing this and I started talking to people and hearing different things and everything else, I feel like this. You know, Connor Griffin, Chandler, Henry Davis. I think they all think of these guys as we need to develop. We need to try to win while we're developing these guys in the big league, sending them to back to Triple A. Develop is up. Now that doesn't mean it doesn't get worse and it doesn't get there, but I think that's the stance this Pirates organization, from my viewpoint, has with those kind of guys. We're not going to struggles aren't going to Triple A right now. Struggles, we're going to figure it out and iron out here while we try to win.
Matt, your reaction to the rumor that the Pirates have had zero talks whatsoever with Brandon Lau about a contract extension. He's already got 14 homers. He's on pace for 40 plus. It'd be the first 40-plus home run season by a Pirate since the early 70s in Willie Stargell. He's a free agent at the end of the year. We don't know what the heck's going to happen with baseball at the end of the year. They're starting to trade proposals right now, the league and the Players Association. What's your reaction to them not even really having preliminary discussions about a contract extension in late May?
If I was a Pirates, I probably wouldn't be either. Honestly, I think that maybe if Lau comes to me, If his representatives come to me and say, hey, he loves it here, man. This is unbelievable. We're willing to get something done here and probably for less than what he's projecting to get, then I think the Pirates would dance a little bit. But I feel like the Pirates have played their hand right with Lau still. He still doesn't play against a lot of lefties. He's gotten pinch hit for by Nick York twice.
Yep.
You know, late in games while he's on a heater nonetheless. So I think the Pirates have played their hand. It's not that they don't appreciate him. It's not that they don't love him. It's not that he hasn't been one of the main cogs and reasons this offense has changed. But I feel like the Pirates, to start this conversation with the Pirates, you're way yourself at risk at overpaying right now, because he is on pace to get paid big time money. And it's a move that the Pirates, with their budget and everything they're doing, is not probably, that's not the guy in their mind that they're going to do something like that with.
Matt, we have those offers that got traded back and forth. The MLBPA has already responded and basically said again, generations of players like yourself have done what was necessary to make sure that a salary cap would never happen in Major League Baseball. As a guy that is now an ex-player and on the outside looking in, what do you make of that? Because as a fan, I see a proposal that says $170 million floor for teams, and I get excited because that makes the Pirates spend a lot more money and makes baseball, in theory, more competitive.
Surprised zero that that's the Players Association. I mean, that the salary cap was never an option when we were playing or thought of. I love the first stuff that came out. I actually looked at the proposal and said, no, salary cap isn't even mentioned here. We have a chance of getting something done here. You know, if there's any kind of like starting to go back and forth with this, and the floor is what Pittsburgh needs. Pittsburgh needs the floor. And I think if you get that floor, it gives you more options to do things without being such a have not that they claim to be and are in a position to be. So
why would owners agree to a floor when there's no cap whatsoever? If it's never going to be one out of two and the players get their bottom end floor here, and then suddenly
you're saying there has to be a cap and a floor, Chris.
If I'm an owner, I'm not going to say, oh, you guys want us to spend a certain amount of money and raise everything up. Well, we're putting a cap on it or we're not doing it. That's what I would say back.
Yeah, and you're right, Malzy. You're 100% right. But I think there's going to be a point here where baseball is a really good thing right now. Everybody loves it. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's making a lot of money. You have TV agreements that are one being done right now with all these major things. You don't want to be on a strike during those or in a lockout. And I feel like there's going to be some take somewhere with the players. There's going to be some take. I just, from my experience, and I'll say this first off, like, I was so worried about staying in the big leagues, and everybody's doing a good with that. And everybody's making money, and there was movement in free agency. I didn't pay attention to a lot of that stuff that was going on. So I'm not an expert on this.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, it's working. I'm going with it. I'm never crossing the line. You do what you got to do and I'm going to be happy. And so I'm not an expert on it, but I just know that stance has all player side, and they see that, like, you know, it's affected the NFL. It's affected the NHL. The owners, from the owner's side, though, Malzy, you're right. You know, like they need the owners need it, but are the owners willing to risk not making money and ruining a good thing to put that together? That's the big question.
Well, I'll say one more thing. As somebody who supports the owners 0.0% of the time in these situations,
that is true, Matt.
Just not going to say any more about that before I get myself in trouble. If the revenues are still mostly right on the owner's side, which, I mean, they are, they're still revenue sharing, I just, again, see very little reason for much of the status quo around baseball to actually change in a meaningful way.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're going to see slight changes. If they keep it similar to what we have, you might see a floor raise or something. Or, you know, I saw on the minimum salary go up, concessions both ways, probably some stuff in the drafts, probably some international stuff, but like, it's in everybody's best interest right now to keep playing. And unfortunately for a small market team like the Pirates, they need a salary cap. Like that really helps even the field for them. But, you know, I remember, Malzy, you and I talking, I think it was last year, about, I asked you if you were rooting for, I can't remember who's in the playoffs to win, the Guardians, I almost said the Indians, because, or if they win, that hurts the Pirates because a small market team like us is winning and getting there and everybody else.
Oh yeah. I hate it when, like, I don't, like, I've gotten very different in my older age here. The more I understand this, whenever it's like the little guy in the playoffs, wow, their payroll's only $78 million against the mighty Dodgers. I'm like, yeah, I hope the mighty Dodgers squash them like a bug on a windshield. That's what should happen. Get what you pay for.
The Brewers are killing everybody right now. They're selling their best players at the end of the year. Then they go on a 14-game winning streak and sweep the Cubs every time they play them and everything else.
Yep.
Like the Brewers and here are the Rays right now. Rays are, like, every other year, the Rays, every 2 out of 3 years, the Rays go off, and they're hanging in there and way ahead of the Red Sox, who are spending all this money, and the Yankees. So I just think there's enough of that right now. It's going to be hard because the haves can point to the Brewers. The haves can point to the Rays right now. And there's not enough of the have-nots that have a stance because of those teams that make it there. And I remember you telling me that last year, Malzy. It's kind of sad from a Pirate that that's the case, because the normal human nature is to root for those teams because they're the good story. But think about it. Blue Jays, they were the fourth highest payroll last year. You like to say, oh, the Blue Jays were a great story. They're a team that aren't doing things like the Yankees and Dodgers and everybody else. You know, I think something that could be in that players, the Players Association or this agreement or whatever, something, and I don't know where it stands. Again, I'm not an expert on this, but, you know, maybe some kind of reign over the deferred money stuff, you know, like, because right now,
that's
like
a huge loophole for the Dodgers that they're using.
I saw somebody say the Dodgers are signing a 15-year, $12 contract for a prospect with $248,999,988 in deferred money. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, but they somehow pull it off.
Well, I mean, it's a loophole and they're exploiting it. To me, that's fair play. If you want to catch up to it, find a way to do it yourself.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And as much as it's infuriating, and as much as it's making them dominate baseball, everybody else has a chance to do this. And there's a lot of really wealthy owners that probably can do this. But the Dodgers are saying, you know what? Come stop us. You know, come do it with us. Come join us. Come outbid us in these situations. And, you know, it's I'm just wondering if that comes up in these negotiations. Somehow a regulation on it.
Matt Clement, everybody. Matt, a Whipfield champion at Butler, as they have won. What was that, 6A championship?
6A. First time in school history. First time in school history. Last time we were there in my junior year, I'm going to age myself here, 1992.
And what happened?
And your
then?
Son was lording it over you. I saw a clip where he was being asked. He said, "I've got this one over on my dad and my brother." Like what? At least one of his brothers, right?
Both brothers. Both brothers.
Yeah.
Both brothers.
Love that. Love that for him. He is going to be able to do the old circle the bases with the home run motion for the rest of his life with you guys.
Matt, great stuff. We'll talk again on Monday. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, that was great, guys. Thanks.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history. A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.